Good morning. We'll try this whole slide thing. It's been a couple of days since I've done this, so we'll see. Thank you for the prayer. It is always my prayer that, in spite of my mumblings, that the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God is what is heard. And I believe that He honors that. I titled the sermon this morning, God's Word, God's Calling. And if you have your Bibles and want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3, that's where we'll find the bulk of our text. I tried to give you some of the other scriptures that I'll reference. If you want to write those down as you're taking notes for later study, that would be awesome. Never take my word for it. I can be wrong. It seldom happens, but I can be wrong. My wife is quick to point that out sometimes. You should listen to your pastor. You should take note of what your pastor's saying, because God has put that pastor in front of you to guide you, to direct you, to keep you, to bring you back. But I am human. I will fall and I will fail. But there is one truth. And that one truth is Christ. I am the truth, the way, and the life. And that truth is contained in His Word. And His Word must be center in our lives. So with all that, we live in a communication revolution. The communication error, as we will call it. With social media, email, and text messages, we can send our thoughts and our feelings into the world in mere seconds. We anticipate a rapid response and we get irritated when our 140-character messages go unnoticed. We desire to communicate with others. Some of us more than others. I'm a people person. I know some of you aren't. I don't understand that, but it's okay. We'll get along. But even if you're not a people person, there's a desire to communicate. There's a desire, a need for others in our life. God didn't design us to be individuals and to be lonely. We want to communicate. And God deeply desires to communicate with us, to communicate with His children. And God communicates directly to a quiet heart, a servant heart that is prepared to listen and obey. God deeply desires to communicate with His children. God wants to communicate directly to a quiet heart, a servant heart that is prepared to listen and obey. The passage today says that the Lord stood there and called Samuel. Can you imagine that? I mean, in all my years, I have never heard the voice of the Lord. I've never heard the voice of the Lord as clearly as someone standing next to me. However, I have heard the Lord's calling through His Spirit, guiding me to His Word and to the path that He wants me to follow. We have so many people today who share stories about hearing God's Word. And for the longest time, I can remember that that was such a mystery in my life. I had never heard God speak to me. I thought something was wrong with me. But when I began to study, when I began to seek, when I began to ask, I learned that God speaks to us in so many ways. He speaks to us through His creation, through our brothers and sisters in Christ, but most importantly, He speaks to us through His Word. And His Spirit guides us to the truth that is contained within His Word. And we must learn His Word. We must be still. We must have a servant's heart. And hear the Spirit guide us to the truth that is contained within his word. In our scripture this morning, we can learn three things. We can learn how to prepare for God's call, how to respond to God's call, and we can understand that there's confirmation of God's call in our life. So how do we prepare for the call? Look with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Many of you know this story. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. The boy Samuel served the Lord in Eli's presence. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and prophetic visions were not widespread. One day, Eli, whose eyesight was failing, was lying in his usual place before the lamp of God had gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was located. Verse 4. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." He ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" "I didn't call," Eli replied. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Verse 6. Once again, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up. He went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" "I didn't call you, my son," he replied. "Go back and lie down." Verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord because the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The first thing I want to talk about here is that the word of the Lord was rare. The boy Samuel served the Lord in Eli's presence, and in those days the word of the Lord was rare, and prophetic visions were not widespread. Samuel lived in a time of spiritual drought, when the word of God was rare and the visions were uncommon. You see, the corruption of the priesthood distanced Israel from God. If we look back into 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 30 through 32, it says, "Therefore, this is the declaration of the Lord, the God of Israel. I did say that your family and your forefathers' family would walk before me forever. But this is the Lord's declaration, no longer. For those who honor me will honor, but those who despise me will be disgraced. Look, the days are coming when I will cut off your strength and the strength of your forefathers' family so that none in your family will reach old age. You will see the distress in the place of worship. In spite of all that is good in Israel, no one in your family will ever again reach old age." You see, they were distracted from God. And just as sin distracts us, can block us from hearing God's word and God's truth today, I believe today we have a drought of God's word in our churches today. We are so easily swayed by our lack of knowledge of God's word and the emotional pieces of today. I believe we live in a time where people want their ears to be itched more than they want to know the truth of God. So while we have people who attend churches, who go to religious gatherings, the word of God is not preached. Sensationalism is preached. Hype is preached. But the truth of the word of God is left behind. In Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12, it says, "Look, the days are coming. This is a declaration of the Lord of God when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of bread or thirst or for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and roam from north to east seeking the word of the Lord, but they will not find it." Folks, I believe there are so many people out there today that are looking for something. After 9/11, the attendance to church and religious services just skyrocketed. The number of books about religion and self-help just exploded. People were looking for comfort. They were looking for hope. They were looking for peace. They were looking for security. They were looking for understanding. And they knew they had to see that and find that from outside of themselves. But they weren't looking for the truth of the Word of God. They were looking for something to appease themselves. And it wasn't too long after that the attendance began to drop. The book sales began to go down. Because people didn't find what they were looking for. Or they found it and they went along their merry way. Folks, I believe there's a drought. But if we're going to prepare for God's call, we have to understand that it is the Word of God that is His call. And we have to have a servant's heart. Because even though there was a drought, even though the Word of God was hard to find, Samuel was serving faithfully. Samuel's faithful service before hearing God's voice. Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. Yet in Scripture in verse 7 it says, he did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And this is significant because it shows that even before Samuel had a personal encounter with God, he served faithfully. Samuel was placed in the temple at a young age, dedicated to God by his mother Hannah. Though he was young and inexperienced in spiritual matters, he carried out his responsibilities with diligence. We talked in our Sunday school class this morning about raising our children, about serving and about sacrifice, being poured out, even when we don't hear the Word of God. We have to be faithful. God calls us to service, to be about His good works, to go and make disciples, teaching them to obey all the commands. And it doesn't put a caveat on it in Scripture that when it makes you feel good or when it's good for you or when it prospers you. In fact, we will see in Scripture, throughout Scripture, the men and women who are poured out, who sacrifice, who give everything. We see the ultimate example in Christ Himself, who poured out His blood for us on the cross in service. Faithfulness in small tasks often prepares us for greatness. Luke 16:10 teaches us, whoever is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. So you might not feel like what you're doing matters. But I'll tell you, if you're obedient to the Word of God and if you're serving with a servant's heart and you're seeking for the truth of God, it matters. There might not be thousands and tens of thousands of people that are walking down aisles being saved. You might not feel like you're doing an evangelistic work or that you're out there making disciples, but I'm telling you, if you're searching for the Word of God and its truth, you're preparing your life to hear God's call, to be about His works. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 remind us that whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for your human master, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It's the Lord Christ you are serving. You're living your life for Him. You're serving Him for His glory, for His purpose. Oh, there's a reward. But our focus shouldn't be on our reward. Our focus should be on our God, on our Savior. We need to be reminded that proximity to God does not guarantee recognition of His voice. Samuel is lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was located. You don't get any closer to God. He's laying next to the ark of God where the presence of God is contained. Samuel slept in the temple near the ark of God, a symbol of God's presence, yet he didn't recognize God's voice when he was called. That shows us that simply attending church, being in ministry, does not automatically equate to spiritual intimacy or maturity. James 4:8 encourages us to draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. For us today, If we're to draw near to God, we need to draw near to His Word. Proximity involves not only physical closeness, but also an intentional pursuit of a relationship with Him. Man, I hear so many people talk about a relationship with God and how they want a relationship with God. Well, let me tell you, if you want a relationship with God, you've got to open up the Word of God. There is no relationship to God without the Word of God. You cannot know God without the Word of God. You can't know His commands. You can't know who He is, and you can't know His love. You can't know His hope. You can't know His joy. You can't know His love, His peace. You cannot have intimacy with God without the Word of God. And so many people today neglect that in their life. And they sit there and they scratch their head and they wonder why. Why do I not hear God's calling? It's because you neglect His Word. Consider someone who attends church regularly but feels that they haven't heard from God. Like Samuel, they may be close to God's presence outwardly, but haven't yet cultivated that personal relationship necessary to discern His voice. They haven't been in the Word of God. God desires to move us from service to relationship, from the old to the new, from the world to the Word. Everything about the teaching of Christ points back to God's Word in the Old Testament. He says, time and time again, do you not remember? And then He tells us that I have to go away so I can send a helper. And that helper is going to help you to know the truth. And He's going to use men to pin His truth, to pin His life, so that we can remember Him and know Him. So today, are you serving faithfully even when you don't feel spiritually fulfilled? God uses seasons of preparation to develop our character and our faith. If you feel distant, don't give up. Continue in faithful service, knowing that God is always working in through you, even in silence. Faithful service positions us to hear God's call. Keep serving, stay near to His Word, and remain expectant. In His timing, God will reveal His Word and purpose in your life. Did we not just sing that He is the way maker? That He is the miracle worker? That He is the promise keeper? My hope is in Christ and nothing less. We can't look to what is happening to us. We can't rely on what we're feeling. If we want to know Christ, we have to run to His Word and the truth of His Word. I'll never forget, I had an Old Testament professor one time that said, you know, he heard people talk about, well, they feel the Spirit of God doing something in their life, or they feel the Spirit of God and talking about this sensationalism, and he just made this off-the-wall comment, well, that could be the pizza that you ate last night. Folks, we live in a world that wants to feel and be emotional, and there's nothing wrong with setting back and hearing a song and just have the Word of God just come and dwell on you. Don't hear me, but we can't rely on our emotions, because our emotions can be sinful. Our emotions can be distracting. We can't rely on what someone teaches and what someone says. We have to go back to the Word of God for ourselves to know it, to discern, is this the truth? We have to struggle with it. We have to wrestle with it. That's why it says to wrestle with the Word of God day and night, because it's so important. But we get distracted today. When distractions distance us from God, Samuel didn't recognize God's voice because he hadn't yet experienced Him yet. Similarly, when we focus on ourselves, our worries, or the world, we can become deaf to the Holy Spirit's guidance. Man, I can tell you the last month of my life, I have been filled with some anxiety and stress about a situation that's been going on in our household. And it is so easy to get distracted by that anxiety, to get overwhelmed by the complexity of the world. And 2 Corinthians tells us that we can easily be persuaded by Satan. And he wants us to feel the complexity. He wants us to feel the burden of the world and get distracted by that. Because you see, there's a simplicity in Christ. And we will only know that simplicity of Christ by being in the Word of God. I don't know how many times in my life I have people who have come to me with burdens. Just heaviness in their heart, being just bogged down by life. And how many times people tell me they're so busy. They don't have time for church. They don't have time for Bible study. They don't have time to come and join and be with brothers and sisters in Christ because they're so overwhelmed by what is happening to them. Folks, it's in those moments that we need the Word of God, that we need our brothers in Christ. We need to make time for God and not be distracted by the world. He says, "Fear not, for I have overcome the world." And we need to be reminded of that, especially when they're in the midst of the burden, right? It says, take on our burdens, give our burdens to Him. For years, I felt that something was wrong with me because I didn't hear God. But I realized the issue wasn't God's silence. It was my distraction. I had to initially seek Him through His Word and be still enough to hear His Spirit guiding me to the truth of His Word. And I tell you, God is a promise keeper because He tells me that when I seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, that He'll add all these things to me. When I come back to Him and when I focus back on Him, my life is easier. I'm not saying that it got rid of the problem, but my focus is no longer the problem. My focus is Christ. In our silence and pursuit of His Word, we hear His call. And we must respond. We have to respond to the call. Look with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel 3, verses 8 and 10. Verse 8 says, "Once again, for the third time, the Lord called Samuel. He got up and he went to Eli and he said, 'Here I am, you called me?' Then Eli understood that the Lord was calling the boy. And he told Samuel, 'Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And then the Lord came, stood there, and called as before, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel responded, 'Speak, your servant is listening.'" Praise God for His persistence calling. Amen. Samuel didn't recognize God's voice the first or the second time that he called, but God patiently called again. And with Eli's guidance, which highlights the importance of having those spiritual mentors who can help us discern God's voice, those mentors, those men and women of faith who can drive us back to the Word of God. In Jeremiah 29:13, it says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." God is faithful and persistent in pursuing His people. Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." God's persistence invites personal response from us. And Samuel's humble response in verse 10 needs to be our response today. The Lord came, stood there, and called before him, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel responded, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Samuel's response of speak. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening reflects a heart that is ready, a ready to hear and a ready to obey. Hear this morning. If you hear nothing else, hear this morning. Do we approach God's word for the today by saying, speak, your servant is listening? Is that how you open your Bible? Is that how you run to God's word? Speak, your servant is listening. Just let that sink in. How many times do I selfishly run to God's word to make me feel better? To relieve my burdens? To lift me up? To knock my Bible down? Now, I'm not saying you can't run to God for comfort. It says, come to me. I want your burdens. But do we truly approach the word of God and say, speak? God, I'm tired. I'm stressed. I've got too much to do. There's so many problems that are going on. The world is a mess. I'm in trouble. I messed up. But speak. Your servant is listening. God often speaks in a whisper. 1 Kings 19:12 tells us that after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a voice, a soft whisper. We need to be willing to speak and say, your servant is listening. We need to understand Psalm 46:10. We need to be still, and we need to know that He is God. Stillness is the key to recognizing God's voice, submitting to His will. That servant heart is so important. Isaiah 6:8 simply said, here am I, send me, which mirrors Samuel's humbling and his willingness to obey God's call. We have to respond. We prepare our hearts in silence. We prepare our hearts in service. And when He calls, we must respond with, here am I. How can I serve you today? John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. A humble response is evident of belonging to God and being attuned to His Spirit. We don't want to talk about obedience today, especially when we talk about salvation. We can't put any idea of works in our minds, and I would never tell you that you can earn your salvation. You cannot. Your salvation is a gift from God that you did not earn, that you did not deserve. But because you did not earn it, because you did not deserve it, because of His loving grace and mercy that He bestowed to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, we should respond to Him and say, how can I serve you? How can I be obedient to you and to your word? Because you saved me. Because you brought me out of the depths of hell. Because you restored me to the kingdom of God. I want to know you. I want to serve you. I want to hear your truth. And He says, here, I give you my word. And I will tell you everything that you need to know to do good works. To live a life in the kingdom of God. To know righteousness. To know mercy and grace. To have a peace that surpasses all understanding. To have hope. Think about a retreat for a moment, if you would. How many of you all have been on a retreat? Okay, we need to get a retreat going. Somebody make a note of that. Those are often times when we hear God most clearly because we've removed all the distractions. Samuel was in a quiet, receptive place when God called him. daily. Daily, we need to create a space for stillness and listening, to be in His Word, to hear His Word, to know His calling. There's a book that we use in counseling called The Heart of the Problem. And there's a quote in that book, and that quote says, "God does not bring scripture to mind that has never been studied or memorized. Make sure you spend time hiding God's word in your mind." Let me read it one more time. "God does not bring scripture to mind that has never been studied or memorized. Make sure you spend time hiding God's word in your mind." And I'll tell you, I struggled with that. Because when I first read that, to me, it put God in a box. I mean, God is God after all. He can do whatever He wants, right? And the Spirit of God is there to help me to know God and to know His will. That's what the Spirit's job is. But we forget that God says, "I have revealed everything to you that you need in this moment. And I sent the Helper so that you could know that." This is part of that spiritual sensationalism. This is part of that hype that I feel like people are drawn to today. When we talk about the Holy Spirit and about being filled with the Spirit and about being attuned with the Spirit, folks, God's Spirit will never lead you away from the truth of God's Word. God's Spirit will never contradict the truth of His Word. I'll never forget that there was a lady who came up to me one day, and she had gone to some prophetic conference. And every time I hear the word prophet, I kind of get squeamish. Because I believe that there were prophets that God used in the Old Testament to help us know who He is. I believe in prophets today who share with us the truth that's contained within God's Word. But I do not believe that there is a prophet out there that can bring a revelation that's outside of the written Word of God. And she came up to me and she said, "Well, I was at this conference and this prophet had a voice. He had something for everybody when they left the building. And he told me that I was going to meet a good Christian guy." And man, part of me just wanted to go, "Okay, can you turn in Scripture and tell me where it says that you'll meet a good Christian guy?" You know, I love the old things on TV, and if I'm touching a nerve, don't forgive me because I'm touching a nerve. You know, you got these guys on TV and they're like, "There's somebody out there that's got a broken leg and it hurts." Well, there's a good chance somewhere in the world there's somebody with a broken leg and it hurts. Just saying. Folks, we want to hear what we want to hear. We want to be comforted in our afflictions. But I'm here to tell you what we should be doing is saying, "God, here am I. How can I serve you?" Are you willing to pause and say, "Speak, Lord"? How can you create a daily practice of quieting your heart to hear from God? Just as Samuel responded with humility, let your response to God's call reflect trust and a readiness to obey. For you see, in your obedience, there is a confirmation. Look with me, if you will, to 1 Samuel 3, 17 through 21. First Samuel chapter 3, verse 17 says, "What was the message he gave you?" That's a loaded question. Eli asked, "Don't hide it from me. May God punish you and do so severely if you hide anything from me that he told you." So Samuel told him. He told him everything and did not hide anything from him. And Eli responded, "He is the Lord. Let him do what he thinks is good." In verse 19, Samuel grew. The Lord was with him, and he fulfilled everything Samuel prophesied. All Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was confirmed prophet of the Lord, and the Lord continued to appear in Shiloh because there he revealed himself to Samuel by his word. Obedience and sharing God's word. Verse 18. Samuel's first task from God was challenging. Sharing a message of judgment with Eli? Yet he obeyed with courage and honesty. So Samuel, it said in verse 18, told him everything and didn't hide anything from Eli and responded, "He is the Lord. Let him do what he thinks is good." There's so much in that verse. We could spend an entire month just in that verse. Obedience to God's word often requires boldness, even when the truth is hard to share. Folks, we need to share the truth no matter how hard it is. Jesus said, "I came to divide mothers and daughters, sons and fathers, because my truth stands above all." We live in a society that wants to appease, that wants to please, that wants to pacify. The word of God does not appease and pacify. The word of God cuts. The word of God grows. The word of God corrects, rebukes, trains. Acts 5:29 says we must obey God rather than men. Our priority is obedience to God over fear of human reactions. I'll never forget when all of a sudden in my life I realized that I was more scared of you and what you thought of me than I was my God. I would hide my sin and my shame from you, but I would openly do it in front of my God. Now you want to talk about humbling. You want about putting in my place. How many of us are more worried about what will happen to us in the world than in the kingdom of God? Ezekiel 2:7 says, "You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious." They need to be boldness in our preaching and teaching the word of God today. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power and love and self-discipline." God equips us with courage when he calls us to speak the truth. You want confirmation and affirmation of the call, of your call, of God's call in your life? Then speak with boldness his truth. Don't compromise in his truth in your life. Don't be more concerned about you and yourself and yours. Be more concerned about him and his. So many people want to look for affirmation and confirmation in their life, and they want to look, well, things are better, right? Things are easier. Things are quieter. Man, can you imagine Paul if that was the affirmation that he was looking for? I mean, time after time. Beaten, jailed, shipwrecked. Can you imagine if that was the standard that Christ judged his life by? He would have never made it to the cross. Because I guarantee you that was a painful experience. One that we cannot even begin to imagine. But he said, "Your will be done." He came to serve his Father. And God said, "I will lift you up and I will place you at the right hand of God." God's affirmation of Samuel's ministry. In verse 19, Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and he fulfilled everything that Samuel had prophesied. All Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was confirmed of the Lord. And God was with Samuel as he grew, and all Israel recognized him as a prophet. When God calls us, he confirms it through his presence, his word, and the affirmation of others. "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Oh, how many times have we heard it? "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." God's faithfulness ensures the success of his call in your life. God has called you to be his servant. God has called you to his good works. And no matter what you encounter in this world, he is going to be faithful to you. Amen. The power of God's word. We're getting close to the end. Hang with me. The Lord continues to appear in Shiloh because there have been revealed himself to Samuel by his word. The Lord continued to appear. God's word is living and active, and it transforms lives when we faithfully share it. God's word is living and active and transforms lives when we faithfully share it. Two more scriptures this morning. I know we're getting close. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to divide the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Samuel's ministry was rooted and the transformative power of God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped to do every good work. God's word equips his servants, as it did Samuel, to carry out his mission. We live in a world that craves connection, that craves communication. With social media, emails, and text messages, we often feel frustrated or unheard when our communication goes unnoticed. Just as we long to a response from others, God longs to communicate with his children. Yet in the busyness of life, we often fail to listen. Like Samuel, we might be near to the presence of God, but still not recognize his voice. Rather, due to distractions, worry, spiritual distance, we can miss the clear and loving call of our Creator. But the beauty of God's call is that he doesn't give up. He is persistent, calling us again and again, waiting for us to quiet our hearts, to be ready in service, and say, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening."